This month, the United States marks the 39th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, in which the nation's highest court ruled that a woman's right to terminate an unwanted pregnancy was somehow protected by the Constitution. It is difficult to imagine how anyone could honestly believe that the framers of this nation's greatest document would ever draw such a conclusion. But seven justices on the court did just that. One of the great tragedies embodied in this decision is that it did not come about as the result of legislative action, but rather as a result of judicial activism. In other words, Roe v. Wade became the law of the land without the involvement of one elected member of Congress, the branch of government whose purpose is to make laws. Instead, abortion was pronounced legal by a handful of unelected jurists who have never been accountable to one voter. This ruling went so contrary to the purpose of the High Court, as originally intended by our founding fathers, that Dr. John Hart Eli, the dean of Stanford University Law School, wrote that its decision was, and I quote, not based on constitutional law and gives almost no sense of an obligation to try to be so. President Ronald Reagan once characterized abortion as radically at odds with our history, our heritage, and our concepts of justice. But now, it is the law of the land, and it has been so for nearly four decades. What seemed to be so lost on those esteemed legal minds back in 73 was that the issue being set before them didn't simply concern an unborn child. It concerned every member of the human family. This is because it is impossible to diminish the value of one category of human life, the unborn, without diminishing the value of all human life. Perhaps the notable English poet John Donne said it best, "Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never sin to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee." Since the rendering of this landmark decision, over 50 million innocent unborn children have been sacrificed to the god of convenience. And no matter how hard proponents of this practice try to rehabilitate it, abortion stands as an evil of unspeakable magnitude. It is the oppression of society's weakest members, and their voices cry out. One such voice belonged to a sweet child named Sarah Brown, whose remarkable story stands as an indictment against all who condone this brutality. In 1993, Sarah's pregnant teenage mother and her parents traveled nearly 1,000 miles to a clinic specializing in late-term abortions. After completing the appropriate paperwork, it was time. Sarah, of course, had no idea what was about to take place, and there was no voice arguing on behalf of her life. On this day, she was all alone. The doctor began the procedure by injecting a poisonous syringe through the mother's uterus and into the upper left side of Sarah's face. When he was finished, he instructed the mother to return the next day, when the life she was carrying would be dead and could be extracted. However, when morning came, her baby was still alive. Her mother then began to complain of serious abdominal pains. Her parents rushed her to a local hospital, where this tiny infant was eventually born, alive, but in horrible condition. As the physician and his staff beheld the grotesque figure that lay before them, they concluded that any attempt at life support would be futile, so none was offered. At this point, Sarah's mother and grandparents quickly left. Meanwhile, the little child was wrapped in a blanket and placed in a bassinet to die alone. However, even without medical care, she remained alive. After many hours had passed, the delivery room staff decided to give her treatment. Miraculously, she managed to survive through the entire ordeal. Sarah, as her adoptive parents later named her, lived until the age of 5, when she succumbed to the developmental harm done to her body during the abortion. The solution that had been injected into the side of her face left her permanently blind and brain damaged. But it certainly didn't have to be that way. Prior to her mother's first visit to the abortion clinic, Sarah was a perfectly normal, yet-to-be-born baby girl. All medical records indicated that she had no disabilities or deformities. Had her life not been so violently assaulted, Sarah Brown would be celebrating her 19th birthday this year. The 127th Psalm calls children a heritage of God, and the fruit of the womb, His gift. I'm just curious, but how do you think He views Roe v. Wade? Now for all of us at Blow the Trumpet, this is Dennis Fisher, Heartbroken. Thanks for listening.